In our study today, we have some people who wanted to see Jesus. There are several instances in the Bible telling of honest inquirers. That's always a healthy sign. It is encouraging to see people who are anxious to know about Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, the apostle tells us in verse 20 that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, these were Gentiles who were dissatisfied with their pagan worship. They did not find their answer in Judaism. And then we read in verse 21, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Verse 22, "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." Why Philip did not go to the Lord directly with this request, we can only surmise. Possibly he felt that since these inquirers were Gentiles, Christ would not want to see them. It seems, however, that Andrew's advice was to go to Jesus. Thus we see both Philip and Andrew approaching the Savior. John tells us nothing about the Greeks being admitted into the presence of Jesus, but what follows suggests that Christ replied not only to the disciples, but to the Greeks as well. Reading between the lines, it seems to me that what Jesus actually said in verse 23 was, "You desire to see me. You have come at a good time. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, to be glorified really means to be honored. Thousands of Jews, as well as the visiting Greeks, were anxious to do homage to Jesus, to make him a king. He explained that he would be honored, but not in the way they thought. In fact, the first step in his exaltation would be humiliation. Verse 24, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Here, of course, he was speaking of his death on the cross and his resurrection, which would provide life for all who would believe. Those who chose to follow Christ would not find a life of ease and comfort. Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." There is a sense in which the true believer must die with Christ. He must die to popularity, the world, lust, and evil of every sort. Romans 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Those who would be Christ's disciples must follow him in a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection. This is a distinct call to discipleship. Discipleship is disciplineship, to be controlled by Christ rather than self-control. This should be the goal and ambition of every true follower of the Savior. Nothing less is satisfying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the believer enters into this experience, he will be of little value to his Lord. In verse 26, Jesus declared, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Probably this was spoken for the sake of the inquiring Greeks. To become his servant meant to be a follower of him, a life of cross-bearing, as we are told in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Christ suffered. We who are his servants must suffer as well. Any of us would prefer a life free from suffering, pain, and anguish. But such a life is not available for those who would truly follow Christ, for he himself knew nothing of this kind of life. There is a tremendous cost involved in being a Christian, yet it is even more costly not to be a Christian. Well, Jesus said further, "Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Even though the way becomes difficult and the going is hard, the Lord will sustain us in every circumstance of life. And after we have completed our earthly pilgrimage, we shall be in paradise with Him. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. As each day passes, we are another step closer to being with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. This provides marvelous encouragement for the overworked, unappreciated saint of God. Sometimes the way becomes awfully difficult, and we say with the Apostle Paul in the words of Philippians 1:23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." But the work is not completed, you see. We must labor on and fulfill the task to which God has called us. Satan would try to discourage us, to get us to quit, but we must continue to follow Christ as faithful servants with a thrilling anticipation of "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." So keep at it, child of God. Don't give up. The road may be rough, but Christ is with you all the way. And so God says to us in His Word, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You have a Sunday school class, you say? The children are difficult to teach? Keep at it. Keep at it. Trust the Lord for the strength and the ability, and He will work in those young lives. If you are faithful, don't give it up. Stay with it. Whatever your responsibility, you're a pastor, you're thinking about moving away, you can't stand some of the things that are going on in your church, stay with it. Don't quit. Stay with it in the power of Jesus Christ. Pray that the Holy Spirit may eradicate those things, and He will. God never fails. If you don't know Christ, I urge you to come to Him right now. As we heard in our song today, God loves you. He certainly does. He proved that when He sent His Son to Calvary to die for you. Who else would die for you? Think of all the miserable things you've done. Who would die for that? Christ did. He knows all about your past. He knows everything you've done, and He died for you. But He rose again and He lives today. Let Him come into your life. Ask Him right now. Father, use your word in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit work in lives and draw them to the cross that they might be saved and have everlasting life. We know, our Father, it's difficult as we face things in this life, but we thank you for the encouragement you give through the power of the Holy Spirit. May that power continue to work in us for Jesus' sake. Amen.